This is episode 70 with Nicola Henderson Hall.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxon.
Welcome, everybody. Today I have with me Nicola Henderson Hall, and she's calling me from Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, and she is the podcast hostess of the Learning Curve podcast, where she shares inspiring interviews of Arab and expat women entrepreneurs in the Middle East and Northern African region. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show, Nicola. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Teo. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. So, what is your backstory? What's your background?
My background is I'm originally from the UK. I have a Scottish mother and an Irish and German father. And in the late 70s, they moved out to the Middle East for work opportunities, really, you know. And they settled in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. And they never got the bug to go back to the UK. And we've now lived here since the late 70s. And my parents are still here and my sister's still here. And we've grown up here. Our lives are here. And we've even had kids here now. So we've kind of really rooted into the place. And I was educated here. But I went to university in the UK. Because at the time of my university moment, there wasn't any university. So I went back and I studied business studies. And then shortly after, I came back here and worked and did a chartership in marketing. Through that, I got on the career path and did that. And then I got married. We moved to Oman and I had my daughter, Jessica. She was born there. That was in 2009. And we lived there for about 5 years. And then in 2013, the summer of 2013, we moved back to Abu Dhabi and started our journey here, you know. So, I'm sort of like you, I suppose. I'm one of those third culture kids that is from one part of the world, but has rooted, I suppose, in another part of the world.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you spend quite a lot of time. I'd probably more time in the Middle East than in your passport country. I don't know if is that correct?
Yeah. I don't really relate to the UK. Well, I say relate, you know. when I go there, I do struggle a little bit. It's just a very different way of life, and I'm not used to it, and I see things differently, and it's nothing bad or good. It's just the way it is, you know.
One thing that comes to mind to me is this is where you can help maybe dispel some stereotypes. Is when you look at the news, you hear the Middle East is not necessarily conducive for females, right? Now, how's that been? Has that been true for you or no? Because I'm asking.
No,
that's why I love that you're here on the podcast.
I can't talk for a lot, you know. I can't talk for all of the Middle East because obviously there are issues going on in around me. But where I live in the UAE and having lived in Oman as well, you know, the women here, there's nothing submissive about them. You know, these ladies here, the Arab ladies here, are strong, confident, driven women. And so the media, yes, they tell a story, but they only tell the small side of the story, and they don't tell the true story sometimes. And it's sometimes really sad when you see things on the news, and you kind of go, this is so not right. You're only 10% or 5%.
Hello? Hello?
You know,
Hello? Nicole?
There's so much more. Nicole? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, it sounds like
you're
breaking. It sounds like you're
breaking. There you are. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it sounds like you're breaking up.
Sorry.
It sounds like you're breaking up.
Is that okay now?
Yeah, it's okay. It was going in and out a little bit, but
let me just move. I tell you what, let me move locations because sometimes around my house I get better signals in different parts of the house.
Well, trust me, I know how that feels for sure.
So I'm gonna try from here. Does this sound better?
Yes, it sounds better. Sounds much better. When you said we can just, I can just restart and say.
Sure.
From the Middle East era, so, and about women, and then we can go from there. Is that?
Sure.
Okay.
So, a lot of the stuff that you see on the news is only part of the story. Yes, in some parts of the region, there is this, the stuff that you see on the news. But where I live in the UAE, and having lived in Oman, the women there are strong, confident, driven women. They have full intent of having careers. They have full intent of having a work-life balance. They want to have family. They want to succeed. They're very positive. And I wish sometimes that people would draw on that energy as opposed to always telling the negative story, you know?
Gotcha.
So the women here are strong. They're going somewhere. You know, the UAE is a very rich emirate, a very rich country, and they are pulling resources into really pushing women to some of the parliamentary positions here in the UAE are held by very powerful women.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's interesting.
And so they're very keen to see women progress and not hold them back.
Okay. No, I'm not. I'm glad that you got the chance to say that because, you know, with media sometimes you never get the full story like you were saying earlier. So it's, you know, I'm you know, you're a woman that lives in the Middle East and you're saying this. So it's good to hear that it's not as bad as it's portrayed for sure.
In this part, anyway, I can't talk for...
You can't talk for the whole region. Yeah, not for the whole region.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But something you said earlier pricked my ears. You were talking about how it's a bit difficult sometimes when you go back to England. How have you resolved that feeling of home? Because obviously home to you seems to be in the region you are right now, specifically probably, UAE or maybe Oman a little bit. But it's...
It's kind of a dilemma because I grew up here, but I can never become a citizen of the UAE. It's never going to happen. I am a guest in the country, and I will always have a guest status. You know, if my husband lost his job tomorrow, we would have to leave the country. You know, or he would have to find another job very quickly.
Hmm.
So, because of that issue of being a guest in the country, there's still the dilemma of the question of home. Where is home? And I haven't answered that question, and I struggle to answer that question. You know, I don't know where that is. We are working, you know, part of our life plan as a family is to identify a place where we could call home. Is that the UK? I don't know. In theory and in genetics and in where I'm from, it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But in my day-to-day life, the people I interact with, it's not, you know. So I haven't resolved that problem of home. I remain rootless, I suppose, in some way. It's still a big question.
No, but, and that's a lot of the answer I get with a lot of people I interview. I mean, even myself, it's somewhat similar to my answer. So let's talk about this podcast of yours. So the Learning Curve podcast.
Yes.
This is what you do a lot. So what is your hope with it and what is it about?
Well, my podcast is basically sharing the stories of Arab and expat entrepreneurial women that live and work in the Middle East and Africa, Northern Africa region. And I want to tell these stories because when I was doing my research about
focusing in on a niche area for my podcast. There's a lot of stories out there about the women doing great things here, but there was no voice to tell the story. And I often find, as you probably know, that you can often hear the passion and the emotion and the energy in someone's voice that you can't see in a word. You know, words can be misleading. You know, when you're texting someone, you say something one way and they take it completely the other way, you know. So when you hear them through voice, you can hear those elements. So I decided that I wanted to focus on these women in this region and tell their story. And the other women in the region that haven't quite made up their story yet can listen to these stories and go, hey, I can do that too. These women are just like me. I can do this. I can make my dreams come true. They've done it. I can do it. So I decided to just to get out there and start telling the stories of these Arab and expat women living and working in the region. And it's been awesome. It really has. The theme of the podcast is always the same, but it's amazing the intricacies, the stories, the ups, the downs, the challenges, the successes, the everything. It's just different each time, and I love hearing these stories. It inspires me. It ignites me. I feel empowered when I hear these stories. So that's what I want to do. I want to share the stories of these women here in this region and show the rest of the world that we're not just sitting here and, you know, putting our feet up and, you know, living in oil, because I think that's also part of the image, but we're actually making a mark in this world. You know, we're leaving a legacy somewhere.
No, I love it. And that's part of why I asked you earlier about some of the stereotypes about women in the Arab region. And I think it's good that you've found this area and you're highlighting some of these things. Because, when I was looking for expats and I was looking into the region, I can't remember how I found you, but I think it was had a niche search, like something related to what you were doing. And you came up and, you know, there obviously weren't many people doing what you were doing. So you're one of the top people doing that. And I thought, wow, this is very, very interesting, and it'd be great to, to see that. That's good, because one of the frustrations I've always had with media, the big media companies, is that it's not necessarily a full representation of just how people are, and that doesn't allow people to relate to what they could. So I commend you for that. Now,
thank you very much.
Have you had a few favorites? I know you've been doing this for a while, so I imagine you must have had some stories that have blown you away.
Do I have some few favorites? Oh, you know, I don't have many. I love them all, because I love the stories. You know, deep down, I'm probably a bit nosy as well. But ever since I was a kid, when somebody would tell me their journey, I was like, wow. And I'm completely open-minded to it. I don't close in. I don't shut the door. My mind just opens up and I completely absorb in it. So all the stories, and I've learned so much from each of these ladies, and I've taken something away and thought, I'm going to try that, or I'm going to try that style, or I'm going to say this, or I'm going to do that. And they're each bringing something to me, and the learning part, the fun part of it is just great. So I love them all. And that's probably my personality as well. I'm quite eclectic. I don't have a specific thing that I love more than something else, because I like lots of things.
No, it's good. It's good. I mean, they all have some element to bettering yourself in some way. You also give them that profile. Now, what would you say your career is? You would say you're a consultant, or you're a broadcaster, media executive? What would you say you're? How do you describe it?
I say a podcast host, stroke consultant.
Okay.
That's how I put myself out there. Because podcasting is really a new topic here. It's a new medium. And when I say to people I'm a podcast host, I still get the, you're a what? You know? And I know in the States and in America, podcasting is huge. You know, it's everybody's adding a podcast to their business and adding that value. But here it's still very much in its infancy. And I only know of two other podcasts in the region. I suspect there will be more as we go on. But I refer to myself as a podcast host and consultant because I also do social media consulting as well. So for small, you know, women that are one mom and pop type businesses, you know. So yeah, that's what I refer to myself. I keep it simple, and that way I can build on that.
No, I think it's good. And the reason I was asking is because I wanted to know what were some of the best resources that you've noticed since you do this consulting and podcasting. Mm-hmm. You obviously have the best of both worlds, where you're having entrepreneurs on your show and you get to hear from them, and you're also practicing it, you know, and you you know, you consult with some of the companies, and you also do some things on your own where you obviously generate revenue from. I wanted to know if you had tips for people who wanted to get into your line of work.
If somebody, well, you know, I think there are so many courses out there, podcasting courses, for example, that you can do, you know, and then you learn and follow the steps of the course. But I think if someone wants to get into my line of work, I think it's kind of important to work on the more sort of intangible skill sets, like your people skill sets, like God, I can't think of something else at the moment, but that kind of thing. Things that you can't see, you know, things that you can't just learn. You kind of learn maybe on the job or something like that. So those would be the more intangible things I would say to work on, because the actual structures of doing things, you can learn through a course, or you can go and have a trainer or a coach, but maybe focus on the more people side of skills, your interviewing technique, how you use some of the technologies, how you can build it all together and make a map and take someone through a sequence of questions so that you have a beginning and an end, that kind of things, you know, as much as in some ways you're an author, but through voice.
I love how you put that. That's actually beautifully said. You're an author through the voice, except, you know, you don't have to do the hard part of writing and crafting the story. Oftentimes the people will tell the story as you're doing it. And speaking of, before I get to the story part, do you have any people that you look at and you model your interview style after?
Oh, yeah, totally. I have a few podcast people out there. You've probably heard of John Lee Dumas, Entrepreneur on Fire.
Every day. All right. Daily podcast.
He's my, he doesn't know it, but I follow him. You know, I don't know how many customers or how many, you know, what his popularity vote here, well, when he looks at his statistics, how many followers he has from this part of the world, but I'll certainly be up there, you know. I also listen to a show called bizwomenrock.com. That's a very female community driven podcast, but these women on, they, you know, these women from America primarily, building businesses, selling their services, and they're inspiring, you know. And then there's another one called shepodcast.com. That's another one.
Okay.
So yeah, and also Jeff Bullis, I suppose. What is it called? Have a Life, Jeff Bullis.
No, I mean those guys, especially this and John Lee Dumas that I and Jack, and but those are the two that I've heard. But wow. So it sounds like you. You have a whole Rolodex of people that you could definitely.
Well, they all bring something different. You know, I take a little bit of something from each of them, and then, you know, add the spice of my own and make a good podcast.
No, it's good. It's good. Now, okay, so from podcasting to consulting, what other part of things? You know, what other things form your personality? What do you do when you're not doing either of that? Because
I'm not doing either of those things. I'm being a mum.
You're being a mum.
I am. Yeah. I my daughter Jessica, she's 5, and you know, I take her to school. We do activities. She goes to play dates, parties. You know, and then I cook dinner at night for the family. I, you know, I'm up at 4:50 in the morning to exercise because, you know, you got to keep healthy. So, yeah, I have a busy day. And, you know, in the morning, once I've dropped my daughter off at school, I get on with the podcasting. So it can be, you know, doing research on other podcasts, researching guests, writing interview questions, setting up my buffer for the next week of scheduled posts, you know. I also have two communities, two Facebook group communities, one in Muscat, where I used to live, and one here in Abu Dhabi. And they are Q&A, where can I find type questions. And they support expats and people living in the region. So I work on those as well. We just had our, in fact, Muscat, where can I find Facebook group just had its fifth birthday, and we have a group membership there of 23,000 people. So
that's a lot of people.
That also keeps me busy.
Yeah, I can see how that'll keep you busy. Going back to travel here, since you you know, you do a lot of traveling, is there one way you particularly connect? I'm very curious to know if there's a particular way people in the Middle East respond to foreigners or visitors.
Well, the nice thing about the UAE is the UAE is a very open, tolerant, accepting city. You know, we have, I think we've got something like 200 nationalities living in this country. You know, it's not unusual to meet an American and then meet someone from Bulgaria and then meet someone from Australia and then meet someone from India during your day. It's really not unusual. So for me, the way I think I can connect with so many different nationalities, it's probably, it goes back to my third cultural nationality, I suppose, is because I've been immersed in different nationalities since I was a kid. You naturally find ways of connecting with someone, you know, and for me, that's asking questions. Hey, how are you? What are you doing? What are you up to today? And just listening. And allowing people to get comfortable and allowing them to sit down and answer my questions and then teach me about where they're from or what they do or where they're going. I think that's where I'm able to connect, you know. My third culture and nationality, I suppose.
Exactly. Being curious and using that to, you know, to ask questions, essentially.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you what you wouldn't tell your younger self, but then what you said made something interesting to me. It was since you were always curious and you're asking questions, has there been any question you asked and the other person responded with like, wait, what? Why? How? What? How's that relevant?
Yeah, I do get that. People sometimes do think I'm odd. You know, I think I'm quite relatable. I'm quite friendly. And I'll go on, I'll, you know, try and make conversation. But a lot of people that are new to sort of the expat life type of thing, they're not used to that. They're not used to that sort of more upfront approach. They're kind of like, whoa, hey, you know, back up a bit, you know, why are you being so close? But they'll eventually see that this is what happens in this kind of society. Everybody, you kind of have to make friends with everyone quickly in order to start living. Otherwise, you're just going to sit there on your couch watching TV, dreaming about somewhere you are not, which might, you know, wherever that might not be.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. The UAE portrayal from the media perspective, I was watching Fast Furious 7.
Abu Dhabi was in it.
Yep. And the portrayal of that, where you are right now in Abu Dhabi, is immense royalty, immense wealth. Like you're talking about having pools and Lamborghinis, Ferraris in hotels on the 50th floor. Now I have to ask you this: the opulence that's portrayed, is that something that's actually true? I mean, I don't even know. I don't know if that's where the 7-star hotel
is.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So you see,
it is very much there.
I have to know what type of life is that? I mean, you just go around and you start seeing, you know, all these sheiks and people just walking in like golden jewelry and just. all around
they
you.
They don't drape themselves in it. They're quite, apart from their cars and their homes, you know, they do like to present their car is very important, you know. But besides that, they are quite shy, and they don't, they don't present themselves as being very wealthy individuals, if that's respectful in any way. But through their cars and through their lifestyle choices, then you will see it. But there is a lot of money here. You know, every hotel is 5-star. It's opulent. It's beautiful. And when you see it every day, you kind of go, okay, another 5-star hotel. And, you know, anywhere else in the world, you'd be like, oh, my God, what is up with you, you know? But when you see it most of the time, it just becomes, well, that's just part of the Abu Dhabi skyline.
Yeah.
You know, you have to come and see it for yourself. It's a beautiful place, you know, and the Grand Mosque here is just stunning.
Huh.
Yeah, that is a beautiful piece of architecture, and to walk around, and it's got the biggest chandelier in the world in there.
Hmm. Okay, so the Grand Mosque is one of those, beautiful buildings.
Must-sees.
Yeah, must-sees. Mm-hmm. All right, and then is there any other must-see in that region that we should go to?
There's loads. There's obviously in Dubai. There's the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world.
Oh yeah.
Which is about an hour away from where I live. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't been up it.
Well, now we have something for you to do. So.
I'm terrified of heights.
Oh.
So,
then we can it can conquer the fear. Nah, it's good. I'm terrified of snakes. I don't know if there's snakes over in that area. So.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh.
When I was little, we had we've had snakes in our house.
No.
We had a camel spider. We had a scorpion. It was great.
Okay, see, I don't mind spiders and scorpions, but snakes.
That's old. That was when I was little. You know, that doesn't exist anymore. When I say that to people, oh, we had a scorpion in our house, and they do freak out. But I say, hey, look, you know, it's very modern now. We've got roads and infrastructure. The scorpions just don't come in anymore. They're not interested.
No, that's good to hear. We're almost done here, but I wanted to know, what's the religion like there? Because is it mainly Islam, right?
Yes, yeah. That's the primary religion. We do have other practicing religions here as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 80% of the population is the main religion is Islam. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now to the rapid fire fun questions. In the area, what is the, I want to know the best food. Which Middle Eastern country has the best food? First of all.
Oh, my goodness. Well, in this part of the world, the food is actually a collection. Because of the position of the UAE and the other Gulf states, the food is actually very mixed, in the sense that it's brought together different cultures. So you've got sort of very flavors of Jordan and Lebanon and Egypt mingling with the flavors of India. So we have, like, there is an Emirati cuisine, there is an Omani cuisine, but it's influenced by the different spices and flavors around us. I don't have a favorite. I do have a few favorite restaurants that I like to go to, but they're not Emirati.
Okay, fair enough. Not Emirati, but so it's a general mix. So you don't particularly have a favorite, then, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I love food. You know, if I could eat every day, every moment. Yeah, you know, and the flavors here, you know, that the spices, the smells, the aromas, oh, they're just beautiful. When you're walking down the street and there's you know, shawarma's being cooked on your right side, and then a biryani being cooked on the other side. The aroma is just outstanding. Your mouth waters.
My mouth's watering right now. So, okay, what about music? How's the music? Which of those countries?
I love Arabic music. The music from this part of the world, I do love it. It's got a rhythm and a beat. It's probably a bit like African music. It's just awesome. I love Bollywood. You know, we have a big Asian community here, and they've brought with them Bollywood, Hindi music, and I love it. I love all that kind of stuff. You know, I love my UK and US pop chart stuff. You know, I love all of that too. But I love watching an Arabic wedding because the music, the tone, the rhythm, it's just beautiful. You know, I love watching Bollywood because it's just so colorful and dreamy, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
gotcha. All right. Fair enough. And before we wrap off, which one has the best, or not best, the friendliest people, rather?
I actually think Oman has.
Oman.
Oman.
The capital is Muscat, right?
Yes. It's, you know, that is another beautiful country. That is a gem in this part of the world. It is so mysterious and so... Oh, it's just lovely. And, you know, we lived there for 5 years and I embraced Oman wholeheartedly. And my daughter was born there. So, you know, Oman is a big part of the rest of our life. And I think the people there are wonderful. They themselves, you know, Oman has a big naval history. And historically, it was Muscat was a port for a stopping port for spices going between India and Africa. And so the people there, you know, you get very African looking Omanis, you get very Arab looking Omanis, and they're such a melting pot. But they've created this open, warm, beautiful, colorful culture, and they're just lovely people.
Okay.
So I would, if you can go there for a holiday, please do, because it's a beautiful spot.
Okay. So things we've learned from the interview is that while there might be some truth, or, you know, in to the stereotypes and the, you know, submissive parts of women, it's not necessarily entirely true, especially in the UAE.
Definitely
women are
not
freer.
True.
Yeah. And then,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Women are freer. And then there's also Oman is a gem. It's a gem of a place to see.
Yes.
Tallest building.
It's the jewel.
Tallest building in Dubai. And then, yeah. I forget the name of the mosque, but that's one of the areas to see.
Sheikh Zayed Mosque. It's beautiful. It's stunning.
Yep. And the region is more diverse than you think and very colorful.
Oh, yeah. You know, this region, you know, obviously we spoke about the media, but really you have to come and see the UAE to see it for your eyes. Everybody that comes here walks away, leaves the UAE with a smile on their face saying, I'm coming back. You know, and I suspect that's probably part of the reason why my parents never left.
Well, that's actually a very good point. So,
yeah, you know, they enjoyed their life here. Why change it, you know?
Gotcha. All right. Well, I mean, you've told us a lot about yourself and the region, and I appreciate that. Can you tell us where we can find out more about you?
Yes, you can find out more about me through my website, thelearningcurvepodcast.com. I'm on Facebook as Nicola Henderson Hall. I'm on Twitter as Nick H2, NickH2. Mm-hmm. And I'm also on LinkedIn. My name, Nicola, is quite unusual, so I'm usually quite easy to find.
That's good. And she's very, very responsive, too. So whatever questions you have, I'm sure she'll be more than happy to help out with.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm more than happy for people to get in touch and ask me questions. And however intricate it might be, just go for it. Ask me. I'm happy to be there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for gracing this podcast and just telling us about the region and just educating us, essentially, about why we should be there. So I need to get on my, put that on my travel schedule, make sure I'm starting to fly to more Middle Eastern areas.
Yeah, well, Ittihad, where are you based? Are you based from New York?
I'm based in New York right now, yeah.
Okay, well, I flew to New York last year on Ittihad, so they fly direct. The flight is 13 and a half hours.
You know what? Yeah, and long flights are not even a big deal, because when I used to go to Vietnam, it was similar. But, I mean, essentially, I have no excuse, is what you're telling me, so I need to get on that.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you you talking to us one more time.
Thank you, Teo. Thank you so much.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uidmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.